Mini episode 1900 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1900. This is the 19th anniversary show for the FDH Lounge. And of course, this hasn't been just 100 mini episodes a year over the course of the 19 years. Of course, the 152 episodes at Sports Talk Network, where we did multiple segments per show from 2007 to 2011. This is our anniversary show because we debuted on January 14th, 2007. And from that point on, it has been just one long continuous run here on the show. We've actually done four full-length segments since leaving the station, some full-length live streams, including our NFL draft broadcast last year that two of today's participants, Ben Chu and Chris Galloway, were a part of. But the panel that we have here today, it is shaped by what we've done over the course of the last couple of years, starting in 2020, when we did a panel for the show previewing the 2020s. I put together a panel at that time of a lot of our FDH Lounge dignitaries, sort of a cross-section. Some guys had broadcast together previously, some had really not. Chris Galloway, John Adams, Ron Glasnap, and Anthony and Matt Patrone. And so that is a panel that we have used on a couple of different occasions, and there have been a couple times over the course of the last couple of years where we've just had Ben Chu come in and substitute for the panel. We've had things come up, and putting the panel together wasn't really feasible, so I ended up going to Ben and doing the segment with him. Today, we bring in Ben with a couple of the regulars that we've used for the segment the last couple of years. I'm going to start by bringing in one of my fellow original FDH Lounge dignitaries. He was there on January 14th, 2007, along with the other original dignitaries, FDH Senior Editor Jason Jones, FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, and two other very smart individuals, Tim Faust. It's been a little too long since we've had him on the show. Got to get him back on at some point. And the late Burrell Jackson. So a very, very, very smart and talented and informed original crew for the program. Chris and I spent a lot of time sort of conceptualizing the show on a car ride back from Athens in the fall of 2006. He was kind enough to bring me to an OU football game and give me one of his very excellent season tickets. We were watching a game. We were talking a lot about the show the whole way back and what it was going to be like. He is one of the folks who has been the most influential in shaping our FDH Lounge pantheon, our voting for the best of the best. In today's segment, I should mention this at some point, we are going through balloting for the top 10 NFL quarterbacks of all time. And this is what you might call a pantheon adjacent segment. And because it's that, and because it's football, and Chris has been our most regular football correspondent the last couple of years, ain't no way we could do something like this without him. He actually hosted at his home our first anniversary show since leaving the station in 2012, myself and Ken Detweiler trekked out to Lake County, Ohio, and sat down and did a show with him. And as I mentioned during our NFL draft show last year, which was dedicated to Ken and to Anthony Patrone, both of whom had just recently passed away, Ken being a guy who just formed like the quickest chemistry with people of anybody that I've ever known. So like Ken and Chris had never sat down before, had never done anything. And yet if you listen to those shows today, the fifth anniversary shows, they still hold up. I like to think that all of our anniversary shows and all of our other ones would, but that one certainly does. And Chris has been a regular part of that and so much that we've done over the course of time. You may look and look and look, but you will not find any of the dignitaries that have been more influential in helping to mold us into what we have become over the course of the 19 years. My good friend, my friend all the way back from Ohio University back in the day, Chris Galloway, my man, and one of the finest public policy minds in the state of Ohio. Chris, great to have you on, buddy. Thank you so much for being here today.
You know, to send the check for that intro, but wow, I do appreciate it. What a fun journey it's been to join you on this from time to time. And you know how much I value our friendship and how much I enjoy being able to jump on and do these shows with you. So thank you very much.
Yeah, right back at you, buddy. Appreciate it. This thing would not be anywhere close to the same without you. So you being somebody that represents the original dignitaries along with myself, somebody that is one of the longest running FDH Lounge dignitaries I'm going to bring in next. This dates back to, I believe, 2008. So the year after we came on the air, my good pal, Ben Chu, I got to know him at the Sports Talk Network when he was living here on the North Coast. And he has been somebody that, as I said, he's been very helpful in filling in with the panel the last couple of years, and specifically in 2023 when we did a segment. That was a thing where, again, when you look at one of the forerunners to the FDH Lounge show and one of the great influences, the first show I ever did at the Sports Talk Network, I hadn't really done anything broadcast-wise since college. My good friend Ron Glasnap brings me in off the sidelines to do Reality Check with him and our great eternal friend Dave Adams. But you get to January 2023, we're about to tape this thing, and Dave, just a couple weeks before, has gone on to claim his eternal reward, which great for him. For the rest of us that are left behind, not so much. So there's no way we wanted to put together a panel then. So Ben came in instead, and under similar circumstances last year, wanted to do the panel again in person. But Anthony Petrone, suffering from stage four colon cancer, didn't realize he didn't have that much longer to go. It turns out that he didn't. So Ben, on two different occasions, has been here in lieu of the regular panel that we've had through the course of the 2020s. I wanted to bring him in today because, again, there are few people, if any, that have been a bigger part of the show than him over a period of time. Co-author with myself and the great Russ Cohen, with the top 75 players in pro basketball history. He has been our regular hoops correspondent over a period of time, but we've brought him in for some other stuff. And again, he and I have had a very compelling, I think, mini series on the show about the streaming industry. He and I are big nerds about the streaming business. So we're always talking about the mergers that are coming, the product launches, what does it all mean? Where are we going with this stuff? Ben is somebody that we can use on any number of different topics, not just basketball, as he has proven with our anniversary shows and proving again here today. So my great friend, Ben Chu from the Pacific Northwest here in Portland, and I join everybody nationwide that has the hashtag going, stay safe, Ben, as you're out there in Portland. So
Well, we will always do the best we can, right?
That's all we can ask of you, buddy.
That's all
That's
we
all.
can ask.
Yeah. Keep your head on a
But good
swivel,
to be
pal.
back, and good to be talking about the NFL top quarterbacks of all time.
Yes, and this is the second time that you've been on with Chris, but the first time that Chris hasn't been behind the wheel while that's been a segment. So Chris is in a standard setting along with the rest of us. Great to have you
You
on.
do this thing next Sunday. That's exactly what happened again.
Really? Well, that'll be hilarious if we reprise that for the NFL draft, because we will be reprising the NFL draft live stream. The form in which Chris joins us in remains to be announced, I suppose. So we'll see how that goes. But what I talked about before with Ron Glasnap, as far as folks that were sort of dignitaries before there were dignitaries, because again, I was at the Sports Talk Network 4 years before this show got launched. Somebody who had been a regular fantasy sports contributor to fantasydrafthelp.com, primarily on our niche sports drafts of tennis and golf. My great friend, Johnny Adams, who I'll go all the way back to high school with. And I remember in particular one of the funniest moments over a period of time of doing any of these things. I know it was 2008. I don't remember this lady's name. And I'm glad I don't remember, because I don't want to clown on her. It's not the idea is not to clown on her for in mentioning this, but some tennis writer came on to do the fantasy tennis draft for that year. And we go just by grand slams, basically. And I remember that, like, we sort of blanched at her using like an early first round pick on Andy Murray. And I'm reading her column a little bit later on, and she mentions that. And she's like, you know, dear readers, I'm afraid the folks that I was with, they're nice guys, but I guess they just don't get it about Andy Murray this year. So it was like a little condescending towards us And that's like, I hate to say it, but Johnny, she was kind of like Bubby Brister. She was seeing ghosts on that one there. You know?
Yeah, she her appetite was too big. He didn't measure up that year. Now, Andy's a great player, of course, but
yeah, she was 4 years early on that guy.
too soon, as they say. Well, thank you for the kind introduction. It's nice to be aboard and with the panel here. So, looking forward to discussing quarterbacks.
Yes, we're going to do all of that. And then typical of how we've gone over the course of the show, when I said in the intro that when you're talking about whether it be the Pantheon or some of the other things here, one of the most consistent voices in my ear helping to make things better has been Chris. And for this one, Chris was like, why don't we do a bonus thing as well? Five most overrated quarterbacks also. So I thought to myself, for the purposes of simplicity, let's limit this to the panelists that are going to be on the show. And so, again, Ron was initially slated to be here with us until those meanies at his workplace ended up calling him in for today. So the way that it's going to go is I'm just going to kind of go through. I'm going to read off the overrated ones from each of our lists that we submitted, then we can kind of talk about it a little bit. And as far as the ones who received multiple votes, I will note that as well. The ones that we had here for Ben's ones, and he left his in order: 1, Ben Roethlisberger; 2, Jeff Hostetler; 3, Trent Dilfer; 4, Len Dawson; 5, Dan Marino. For Johnny, his 5 most overrated: Bob Greasy. For those of you on the video feed, you can see me shaking my fist. 2, Eli Manning; 3, Terry Bradshaw; 4, Tony Romo; 5, Ben Roethlisberger. My most overrated: Doug Flutie, Ben Roethlisberger, Cordell Stewart, Aaron Rodgers, Michael Vick. Ron's most overrated that he had: Eli Manning. I'm sorry, that's Chris's most overrated. The most overrated for Ronnie, okay, Ronnie's were Joe Namath. Now, he said never the same after his knee injury and more interceptions than touchdowns. Fran Tarkenton, never won a Super Bowl or NFL championship, 57% completion percentage. Dan Marino, again, no championships. Eli Manning, only a 4-time Pro Bowler in a day and age when they give those away like glasses of water. And also, did he win the titles or did the team? And then Bob Greasy, he says best game manager ever, question mark. I would say no. I know that was a rhetorical question. For Chris's, it was counting from 5 to 1, Eli Manning, Archie Manning, Troy Aikman, Joe Namath, Terry Bradshaw. So as a compilation here, receiving 3 votes, Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. Huh, something about that class of 04, huh? 2 votes for Terry Bradshaw, Bob Greasy, Dan Marino, Joe Namath. I feel personally attacked on 2 of those names. And the other ones receiving 1 vote in alphabetical order: Troy Aikman, Len Dawson, Trent Dilfer, Doug Flutie, Jeff Hostetler, Archie Manning, Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, Cordell Stewart, Fran Tarkenton, Michael Vick. So I'll just kind of go around the horn as I'm looking at the folks here in order here. So I'll start by throwing it to you, Chris. That is a very, very, very eclectic list for the most overrated of all time, and had to be a whole lot of different criteria being used. I know, like in the case of me, like I put Aaron Rodgers on mine for probably the same reason Dan Marino appeared on another one, that if he's not in your top 10 or your 5 honorable mention, then he kind of has to be on the overrated list because of the consensus of where they're at. So a lot of different criteria though that people were using on this, clearly.
Yeah, I you're right. And I even wrestled with a couple guys that I was considering in my top 10 also being on my overrated. Because I think there is a world when you can be both, right? Mm-hmm. For me, my criteria really had to do more with sort of the media hype, the fan hype, versus the reality of who they were in terms of their situations and what they actually delivered statistically, et cetera. You know, I loved Eli Manning coming out of Ole Miss. He was that draft. He was my number one quarterback that I had rated in that. And again, I think he had a great career. And, you know, it's they've got him in the Hall of Fame and people talk about 2 Super Bowls. And I'm like, and he was 117 and 117. Mm-hmm. He was a 500 quarterback. And unless he was beating the Patriots in a Super Bowl, or the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. He just never really, you know, you take those away and it's like, okay, he wouldn't be in, the, you know, he wouldn't be there. Not statistically, not for any other reason. So that was how I tried to sort of in my prism go through it. As you know, I'm a, you know, big Cowboys fan. Troy Aikman was a really good quarterback, right? But the function of that was that team around him. There were a lot of quarterbacks that could have done what he did. And there were a lot of quarterbacks playing a lot in the NFL when he did that, if they had that roster and that coaching staff, would have far exceeded Troy. Again, back to that conversation that we have every draft cycle about it matters where you go, right? Mm-hmm. It really matters. Your coaching matters. Again, Joe Namath, he's the original, you know, Hollywood hype, you know, element to me. I also think, I know the teams were terrible, but I don't know what you hang your hat on really with Archie Manning. Some people have him in their top 10 of all time. And I'm like, based on what? Like, I know they don't have the wins. He doesn't have the Pro Bowls. He doesn't have the Super Bowls. He has nothing. I know, you know, I've gone back and watched some of his old classic games and stuff, but again, good quarterback, but the hype, the amount of hype exceeds. And the same thing with Aikman. Good quarterback, right? Terry Bradshaw, the original game manager, in my opinion. Great quarterback, great career. You know, I'm not even going to argue whether he should be in the Hall of Fame. But the overhype on who Terry Bradshaw was, to me, is another example of a guy who's like the reality versus the hype and the circumstances make him overrated.
Well, two thoughts on the Mannings. One is, this will be, I know you'll pop for this one, Chris, with this being a politics / public policy oriented joke here. But I used to make the joke about Eli Manning back in the day that, man, if this guy played, because it was 2008 and 2012, if this guy plays past the Iowa caucuses, he's the best quarterback in the world. And that's basically what he was, essentially. He just never made it there that often.
That's right. So. And it took a lucky catch.
Yeah.
And, you know, some other things for him to be, you know, a Hall of Famer. And again, that's to me, that was my criteria on, on overhyped, overrated.
Well, and I have a thought about Archie Manning because, and again, the thing I love about the lounge is it ties into so many past subjects. So we did one, and this was actually back in the days at the station, in the waning days, I want to say maybe about 2010. And we did one on greatest pro wrestlers of all time. And my man, Jake Digman, was arguing for superstar Billy Graham to be a little higher on the list because he was like, well, Hulk Hogan basically imitated him and Jesse Ventura and later day Scott Steiner. And it's like, that seems like it's the Archie Manning argument, isn't it? Like Archie Manning, you know, sired these quarterbacks that came after him. Like, it doesn't mean that he did these things. I mean, superstar Billy Graham had a great career, but shouldn't be near the top of the list of the greatest of all time in wrestling, certainly if work rates factoring in. But it's like superstar Billy Graham equals Archie Manning, it seems like, for the people arguing for them, Chris.
I mean, that is a very fair analogy. And, you know, somebody, I when you were reading them off, somebody had Trent Dilfer on there as a vote for it. He didn't make my list. I wouldn't even consider him because
again, who rates him?
I think most people say that like he was an average, okay quarterback who just got lucky one year with one of the best defenses of all time. I don't think anybody actually considers him overrated, right? In terms of who he was as a quarterback.
I do have to note that I'm pretty sure I was the person who put him on.
Yes.
And what I'm saying though, is that for what he was at that time.
Okay.
He was, you know, that was also one of those weird Super Bowls, too, where the Giants kind of got in, and that was what it was. But, again, I mean, and Rick, we discussed this, too. Like, I put a lot of emphasis on winning, and I feel like what ends up happening a lot is when we rate guys, people always are going to put Super Bowl winning quarterbacks on these lists. And I'll say, too, is that for me, like, I made Roethlisberger my number one. I'm not doubting that Big Ben was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but I felt like he came up short way too much in the playoffs. He has a 13-9 career playoff record. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, to me, a lot of those guys that made my list, their defenses were all-timers, essentially Kansas City, Baltimore, and, you know, the Steelers. So at the end of the day, I feel like I think they're more overrated just because when you have a good defense, you can pretty much put in an average to great, or excuse me, average to good quarterback, and you're going to win a Super Bowl in most cases. Like we saw it too also with Brad Johnson in Tampa Bay. So
yep. He was great that year, but yeah, no, that's – and the funny thing is, and I always joke about this, so like Trent Dilfer actually won 2 Super Bowls. The second time around, they were calling him Peyton Manning because basically that was just a reprise of what happened with Baltimore in 2000. So, and that was – and I know this is going to come into play on your list, Ben, where you have Peyton and Eli rated because, yeah, I mean, Eli did actually win 2 Super Bowls. The degree to which Peyton won 2 Super Bowls, you know, I think is pretty debatable. By the way, as far as quarterbacks that are a little questionable being on the overrated list, me putting Cordell Stewart on, that was simply by dint of, like, how did this guy hold a job that long? Like, Pittsburgh's been doing inexplicable things at quarterback for decades now. Like, there was that period of time Roethlisberger was there. But, like, after that and before that, like, you got to go back to Terry Bradshaw to when they really knew what they were doing. Terry Bradshaw and Roethlisberger, and then they've just gotten lucky the other times before and since. Cordell Stewart, I think, is the poster child of that. That's why I had him on there. Johnny, your thoughts about most over?
I considered my top five overrated. I considered all Steelers. I thought of making an all-Steelers.
Yeah.
I was like, should I put Stewart, Bradshaw, yeah, Roethlisberger, Bubby Brister? I didn't care. I thought about making an entire list of just
touchdown Tommy.
exactly right.
Yeah, Roethlisberger was on mine because, like, he never beat the Patriots when it counted. I mean, that was a thing, you know, it's the old pro wrestling analogy of, like, you know, where the bad guy pays somebody off to take somebody out. Like, the Jets, that fluke win in the playoffs in 09, I think? Like, they didn't have to, like, they never had to go through New England to make it to a Super Bowl. They never proved anything against the best team of that era for a solid decade and a half plus. So,
Peyton Manning didn't beat the Patriots when it mattered.
The one game in 06, though. I mean, that – and then that was a comeback game.
He got him once, finally.
Okay. I will say, too, though, and I remember talking about this. This was pre-lounge, but in the days at the station, that I think it was – I don't know if it was the 03 or the 04 AFC Championship game that the Patriots were hosting. And basically, so it was like – it's winter. It's – I think it was a grass field, whatever. Belichick's, like, running hoses out there. Like, we're just going to – just like – I'm like, what? What? They're, like, deliberately making the field worse than it is? So, like, they allowed things like that to happen because it's like, we're not going to let Peyton Manning and the finesse passing game beat us. Like, that's what you have to resort to? So, I don't know.
Well, that – and I think that was indicative of some of the rule changes where, like, you know, people could say that there was a lot of contact, and after that point, there wasn't. Let me jump in. I had just to follow up with Chris, you know, the Eli Manning, it was 2 catches in 08. It was David Tyree. And in 2012, it was that Mario Manningham sideline.
Okay.
So he really benefited from 2 critical plays because he was definitely on my overrated list. And it was interesting to know his overall record, 117 and 117. In looking at some things, Terry Bradshaw, there were a number of, certainly with that defense, the one year, I think it was maybe 74, the defense had 8 games where they did not allow a touchdown. So, I mean, you've got that. And certainly Roethlisberger, the best of the bunch in a bunch of bums. When you talk about Bubby Brister and Cliff Stout, you talk about Mark Malone, Neil O'Donnell. I mean, they relied on uglying up games for decades to try and win. So, the interesting thing with Aikman that was mentioned too, you know, and I was a big fan of Aikman. I've got him as my number 10, actually, all time. But they were even unsure because at one point they brought in Steve Walsh, who they eventually traded to New Orleans. So they were kind of, you know, that's maybe indicative of, did they think he was the guy or was he more of a manager with certainly the talent on both sides of the ball?
Jimmy Johnson says after that first year with Aikman, that's why he drafted Walsh. He wasn't sure.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And that's going to be really interesting once we see where Troy Aikman places in all of this here. there will be some thoughts on this, gentlemen, I'm sure. You know, will you guys, if he makes it as far as hypothetically say honorable mention, will a couple of you have thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm an Aikman fan, but I mean, the numbers don't lie. He definitely, while he got his rings, he really managed quite a bit with the talent he had. When you talk about Emmett Smith and you talk about Michael Irvin, Jay Novacek, a bit of an underdog in that story, but was critical in his success.
I mean, that Dallas defense, I mean, listen, I'm like you. I'm a Troy Aikman fan. He was a really good quarterback. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. To me, it's the overrated hype, right, versus the reality. There were a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL when he played that you had plopped him onto that roster, that team would have been even more dangerous.
Very interesting. Okay, well, that
– can I quickly just jump in?
You don't think if you drop Steve Young on that roster –
yeah,
oh, wow.
But I have Steve Young rated higher, so like, of course. But like,
Randall Cunningham, right? Like, I think there were a lot of guys that really would have, you know, they're how people think of them on that roster would have been very different. Again, that's why I just say overrated.
I will say Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb. There's a couple of Philly quarterbacks that I might have had on my potentially on my overrated list. So, I mean, that's maybe not a good guy to throw as far as I'm concerned. Now, part of it is, too, I start loading up on too many of the mobile Philly quarterbacks or however you want to put it, and I'm going to show up on a hate crimes list. So it's, you know, just as well that my list was a little more balanced than that, I suppose.
I just wanted to quickly note about Aikman, too, is like, yeah. I know you guys brought up Steve Walsh, but let's not forget that also in that same timeline, he got benched for Steve Berline in that game against Detroit, and that they ended up losing. So
yes, Steve Berline, who is now doing the national broadcast, I believe, of the Cowboy games on radio. So that is
Callback by Ben. Great callback on that. I forgot about that. And you know, if Troy flounders on Monday Night Football, they could call in Berline for one game, you know.
Ben is the quintessential 90s guy. He'll give you a 90s callback on just about anything. Like, there's nobody that I would put above Ben for being a 90s callback guy. But as far as the individual ballots here, I think in terms of the pacing of the show, what I want to do, we have 9 ballots total. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off the 5 of the folks that are not here, and then we can kind of run through those similar to like what we did with honorable mention. And you will notice with some of these guys some themes as far as whether it be winning, whether it be time frame, et cetera. Some guys really didn't want to go back too far or in some cases be too current. Mike Pujakowski is a very interesting ballot. He had really emphasized winning on his ballot. And I have a few notes for him for a couple of his guys where he talked about them. But just to give you his ones, honorable mention, Matt Stafford, Steve Young, Justin Herbert, Warren Moon, Jim Kelly. Counting our way up from 10 to 1, this will be the token top 10 appearance of Josh Allen. He appears at number 10 on the list here. Number 9, Brett Favre. Number 8, Drew Brees. 7, Peyton Manning. 6, Patrick Mahomes. 5, Aaron Rodgers. 4, John Elway. 3, Tom Brady, 2, Dan Marino, 1, Joe Montana. Mike's notes, he says Herbert could be in the top 10 by the end of his career. And then he also says, when I say a great quarterback, I'm not going off of wins, stats, or athletic ability. I'm going off of if I had a brand new franchise, I had to take a quarterback as a rookie that I would have for the next 15 years. These are the top 10 quarterbacks that I would take. For example, if I had an expansion team, I would take Josh Allen over Warren Moon based off of what he has done and what his potential is. Based off of everything else that I've seen from Allen, I think he's a better quarterback, even though Moon has higher statistics. So those are the contributions from Mike Pujakowski. Appreciate that. Derek Allen, our youngest voter here, our token Zoomer of the bunch, He sends a ballot that has honorable mention, Brett Favre, Eli Manning. So there's a dissenting opinion from some of the other ones. Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Josh Allen. His list is probably the most, I guess you could say, current. 10, Matt Stafford. Is that a little bit of recency bias? I'll have to ask him about that the next time he's on the show. 9, Patrick Mahomes. 8, Kurt Warner. 7, Drew Brees. 6, Marino. 5, Aaron Rodgers. 4, John Elway. 3, Joe Montana. 2, Peyton Manning. And 1, Tom Brady. So ballot from him that is really interesting, and it kind of stands out a bit from some of the other ones that we have received. For Ron Glasnap, who was supposed to be with us here today, his ballots, he has some notes by all of his guys. Number 10, Patrick Mahomes, says most debatable because his career is not over. What will he add to his numbers? And he's right about that. The one moving target out of the list here, I think. Number 9, Johnny Unitas. 3 MVPs, 4 championships, set the example on how to be QB for an entire generation. 8, John Elway. 87 MVP, 2 Super Bowls, persevered through Super Bowl losses to come back and win. From there, Otto Graham, 3-time NFL champ, set the standard for QBs when the passing game was in its infancy. I would note also 4-time AAFL champion, which now counts every bit as much according to the NFL, which is the right call to make. The next one up is Joe Montana, 4-time Super Bowl champ, great player, made great by surrounded by other Hall of Famers, usually the case with the greatest players. From there, Aaron Rodgers, 3 MVPs, Super Bowl champ, top 5 all-time in passing yards. Just above him, ironically, Brett Favre, 3 MVPs, Super Bowl champ, 3-time All-Pro, 16 straight years, no missed starts. Just above him. So now we're getting to the top 3. It's Drew Brees, Super Bowl champ, 13-time Pro Bowl, over 80,000 yards, 571 touchdowns. Number 2, Peyton Manning, 4 MVPs, 2 Super Bowl titles on 2 teams. Still no debate here. Number 1, Tom Brady, 3 MVPs, 7 Super Bowl titles on 2 teams. No debate here. The ballot from Steve Cervillo. His ballot was very, very interesting because of the time frame that he used, which he didn't go really current on anybody. So nobody that's still playing. His honorable mention, Troy Aikman, Doug Williams, that's interesting, Jim Kelly, Jim Plunkett, and Terry Bradshaw. Counting up 10-1, Brett Favre, Dan Fouts. It's good to hear his name being mentioned on one of these ones. Roger Staubach at number 8. 7, Dan Marino, 6, Warren Moon, 5, Peyton Manning, 4, John Elway, 3, Tom Brady, 2, Joe Montana, 1, Johnny Unitas. And the one that we got from Tom Denk, our FDH golf editor, I saved this one for last here. The most entertaining submission that I got from anybody, to be sure. And I'm actually going to have to censor part of this on what he says about Marino, lest he or we get sued. He had, and it's funny, and I guess I'll start there with his honorable mention, is that he had, and I was looking at this and I was like, wait a minute, he didn't get a most overrated ballot. No. He had Marino on his honorable mention, but he basically treated it like it was the most overrated one. He says, there's never been a player who feasted off a Super Bowl loss like Marino. This should be NFL only, but let's never forget the only reason he ended up at Miami was because he was a, he goes on to make drug references about University of Pittsburgh and also the beginning of his time in Miami. He says, cheap ass bum gave isotoner gloves to his lineman. Troy Aikman did Rolex watches, get off your wallet, Marino. Oh, but he had a quick release. Great. Key for him because he didn't like getting hit and bailed before he took a hit. Compared to the great QBs of the 80s, he was soft, had Shula and Jimmy J and couldn't get there. Johnson took one look at him and decided to get some running backs because he knew Marino wasn't a savior. Very media savvy, I'll say that. He's like the Jim Cott of the NFL. A truly epic compiler. I'd say he's the most overrated QB in NFL history, hands down. And yet he made him honorable mention. Warren Moon. Wasted some early prime years in the CFL and a little outside the limelight. I think Warren Moon would have excelled in all eras and all systems. I agree with that. Probably played on the weakest teams or close to it of all the great QBs, which is not his fault. Other honorable mention, Brett Favre. His 3-year MVP run, he was the real deal, having climbed the rungs of the NFL ladder and got better to reach his Super Bowls. Let's all pretend the Vikings and Jets years didn't happen or anything in his life after he stopped playing for Green Bay. Patrick Mahomes, I think this may rankle some. I think if you realize he had the best NFL wide receivers on his team, probably the second best receiving tight end in NFL history on his team, with one of the best offensive minds in NFL history, you may rethink Mahomes' legacy. Laughingly protected by NFL refs, and in my opinion, will have a post-NFL career like Brett Favre for shadiness. Yeah, his achievements speak for themselves, but defining the era and perfect placement and salary cap dynamics, you can easily see this ranking, which isn't all that bad. His last 7 years are not elite. Wow. He came out blazing, but since he's feasted on reputation. And honorable mention, nice to see this name in there. Just missed my list. Y.A. Tittle. His stats and achievements are prolific, and his late career surge was atypical of a brutal era of the NFL. Counting our way up from 10 to 1 for Tom. 10, Johnny Unitas. He moved the game towards a passing reliance that brought the NFL into wider favor and was superior to most of his peers, along with Grammy to find the great QBs in the post in the pre-Super Bowl era. 9, Troy Aikman. Every once in a while, somebody posts that Aikman was a product of the Dallas teams, and I enjoy that because it's best when idiots self-identify as it saves the time. From the teams I've seen since 1982, I consider the 1992 Cowboys the greatest NFL team I've ever seen. Despite all the drama and crazies on the team, Aikman was the unquestioned leader. Leadership and toughness were off the charts, with Troy suffering from brutalization of an unkind era for NFL for QB safety, playing on Dallas, Philadelphia, New York Giants turf 10 times a year. And from there, number 8, 8 on his list is Aaron Rodgers. Probably as much as any top 10 QB, he was short-challenged by his defenses. And while I like to she-ate on this degenerate Sandy Hook truther, his peak was long and prolific, but he was the root of a lot of late-career drama in Green Bay that made them happy to move on. Maybe he could have taken a little less, like Tom Brady, and his defenses could have paid 2 more quality players. Was he always an a-hole or turned into one? Green Bay insulates their players like no other city. See Brett Favre commingling in hot tubs with minors alongside his predator buddy Mark Chimura, allegedly, and those are the words of Tom Denk. 7, Kurt Warner. If Steve Young gets credit for a prolific but narrower peak, then we can do the same for Kurt Warner. Arguably the toughest QB to ever play. He took hits to his teammates that got open. It took 2 dogpile franchises to the peak of the NFL. People overlooked that the hits he took caused his hand to break and not reset, which caused his mid-prime downturn before putting on a glove and taking the Cardinals to the Super Bowl. His stats, MVPs, and Super Bowl appearances hold up well. His teammates revere him for his leadership. Number 6, Peyton Manning. The greatest regular season QB of all time, stupidly ran his offensive weapons into the ground and exposed whole playbook so top teams were ready for him come playoffs. Blew a number of playoff games when they were heavy home favorites, but his total command of offense set the standard along with Brady. 5, Steve Young. I think that there's a big tier between Young and the predecessors, but there's no shame where he's at. His peak was as high as any QB for regular season play. Self-sabotaged with unnecessary hits. I'd say Young and probably Donovan McNabb set the tone for the modern dual threat QB. I realize Tarkenton did it, but there was a big gap between him and the other mobile QBs, so less of a legacy. 4, Otto Graham. With Elway, could easily be ranked 2 or 2C as I have him. People forget his athleticism had him win the NBA title until the Browns mandated he quit. Went to college on baseball scholarship, arguably the most disrespected multi-sport athlete. Also lost time to serving in World War II. His standing solidified all NFL 75th team and all NFL 50th team while still playing. 10 title games in 11 years, 5 MVPs, 7 times first team All-Pro. 3, John Elway. I almost have him as 2B, along with Montana, brought back the QB age and the teams where the Hall of Fame quarterback could dominate the NFL landscape. Look at his first downs gained per attempt. Was really mobile and knew when to run and not for the sake of running, in a way that shortened a lot of QB careers. 2, Tom Brady, a whole tier, I'm sorry, 2, Joe Montana, a whole tier below Brady. Ultimate high stakes player, undeniable toughness, redefined the modern QB, could beat you in a lot of ways and made it look easy. 1, Tom Brady, unparalleled achievement under tremendous modern scrutiny. Well, that's quite a data dump there, but I'm sure you guys have been making some mental notes as I've gone. Chris, I will start with you.
Feel like I just drank out of a fire hose. Yeah, all right. You can see the Venn diagram of a lot of overlap in these top 10, right?
Yes.
I'm sure we all, and I struggled with this list, you know, in terms of, you know, Till's a great example of a guy. I was looking at him and Marino. Kurt Warner didn't make my top 10, but man, I considered him and was trying to figure out how to judge him. You know, some of it, you know, was the system in St. Louis. Maybe that wasn't fair to him. I didn't put Elway on mine, right? And Elway was an amazing quarterback. But he also didn't win anything until he got that Shanahan run game.
Terrell Davis,
kind of pushed him out for me, right? So that was my whole struggle with all of it, you know, is like, because there have been so many great quarterbacks through the different eras that you've got to start making some choices. You know, the people out there that will put Mahomes like, he's number one. And I'm like, it's the era. They protect the quarterback. They, you know, they baby him. All those things that were said, you know, that's all true. But he also is a dynamic player. And so it's like, I can't really deny that. If I, you know, in another era, would he be as effective? Maybe, maybe not. It's, again, that gets hard to judge. I had Tom Brady as number two, just because the consistency of doing it for so long. He benefited from the changes in the NFL to protecting quarterbacks, allowing him to play so long and excel so long. When it came down to it, I made Otto Graham number one for one big reason. And that is, when asked who the greatest quarterback of all time is, Tom Brady says Otto Graham. And the guy that everybody calls the GOAT and the guy that everybody says is the best of all time, or not everybody, but a lot of people say, when he came out and said Otto Graham, that was kind of my tie break and said, okay, Tom, I'm gonna go with you on that. I was trying to figure out where to place Otto Graham in my top three to four. And I'm gonna listen to the quote unquote GOAT, and I'm gonna make Otto Graham my GOAT.
Okay. All right. Ben, any thoughts on the ballots that we've heard thus far? It was really kind of a interesting spectrum between the first five that are
and also too, Rick, it's just, and I agree with what Chris said. It's just so hard to make a list like this because we all have our different criteria. There's going to be people who are focused on winning. There's going to be people who are focused on regular season success and all these other things. So it's just really hard to judge. I did see there was Mahomes slander in there. And again, no one's going to, for me personally, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I get it. No one likes Kansas City. But I feel like to act like Patrick Mahomes had this insane offense is a little crazy, if I'm being honest.
Well,
this was not like, I would argue, like, he did not have, like, you know, the 80s 49ers offense at that time. Like, they constantly are shifting to a bunch of running backs in Kansas City.
Well, and I will say
that's more detrimental to Andy Reid, who's never, other than lucking out for Brian Westbrook, has never had a number one running back. I mean, Deuce Staley, I mean, the guys he tried to march out there, he's always been by committee. So, I mean, he still makes plays. Look, Mahomes still makes plays. I do think he benefits from – I think he benefits from the referees. I think he benefits and you can't – you know, it's like the Troy Aikman argument. You can't hold it against the guy that he has an all-pro player working with him, right? Like Kelsey. I mean, you know, that's good drafting. But, I mean, I have to say he made my honorable mention list. But he didn't make my top 10. It's a little teaser. Go ahead.
Okay. Rick. Well, the one thing, and I know you'll back me up on this, Johnny, because you're the one guy on here that knows about this. But as far as Tom Dent goes, longstanding friend of both of ours, much even longer standing friend of yours. I mean, back to childhood for you.
Yeah.
Not quite for me, but a long time. Very, very strong takes from this guy. A guy who once got hung up on the Jim Rome show for making it was a David Modell Coke spoon reference that he got hung up on. It's like, you know, yeah, exactly. So it's like, particularly you, Johnny, had to be anticipating. When I said I had a lot of notes from Denk, you were probably like, oh, this should be good. And he
it did not disappoint. And it was interesting. And his tidbits and commentary, especially on Dan, you know, is highly fascinating.
But I censored the worst of it. It was
tell.
yeah, it was, and not merely because I'm a Dan Marino fanboy, but because I don't want him or us getting sued. But like, yeah, no, that was pretty interesting what he had to say. The rest of these ones here, you know, I'll run through the ballots and we can talk about it. Chris started to kind of tease this already on like his one. And so I'll give the rest of the ballots here and we can talk about ours before we get to the compilation of everything. I will start with my ballot. And so my listing that I had here, I had a couple of guys who, And I sometimes get branded the historical hipster sometimes when we do the Pantheon voting, like voting for Warren Johnson as the best pitcher of all time, and Willie Mays is the best player, you know, hitter of all time. So there's a little bit of that here, perhaps. Sammy Baugh, Sid Luckman. I'm the one guy that put him on the honorable mention ballots. I also put Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, and Bart Starr. A little bit of historical hipsterism, that the only Green Bay quarterback I go with is Bart Starr, because you're not going to hear the other ones on my top 10. As I work my way up from 10 to 1, Dan Marino at 10, 9 Patrick Mahomes, 8 John Elway, 7 Johnny Unitas, 6 Drew Brees, 5 Steve Young, 4 Peyton Manning, 3 Otto Graham, 2 Joe Montana, 1 Tom Brady. So I had a list where, again, I didn't expect to see a lot of the names that I had popping up on other lists, but interestingly enough, they did. And that was a thing where, so again, I'm sure like Johnny would say, it's like self-congratulatory for me to say, what a great compilation we came up with when it's so many of my guys. But I can't help it. I am impressed that that ended up being the case, that a lot of people saw it my way as far as how these guys were popping up here. So as far as Chris's list, foregoing the honorable mention, number 10, Dan Marino, 9, Brett Favre, 8, Peyton Manning, 7, Aaron Rodgers, 6, Steve Young, 5, Patrick Mahomes, 4, Johnny Unitas, 3, Joe Montana, 2, Tom Brady, 1, Otto Graham. I'm going to give Johnny's list first, because there may actually be more to react to potentially off of Ben's list. I'm just speculating here, but Johnny's list, honorable.
And I've got to say, sorry to interrupt. I'm looking at my list and then I'm hearing the input from others, and I'm even thinking, boy, I could have switched this with this. And it's very interesting to get the hear the other takes from the panel and those that aren't with us. And I certainly even look at my list thinking I could have shifted some things around. But yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah,
it is. It really is interesting and fun to go through as an exercise here. Your honorable mention: Patrick Mahomes, Dan Fouts, Warren Moon, Kurt Warner, Jim Kelly. Your top 10. 10, Troy Aikman, 9, Drew Brees, 8, Peyton Manning, 7, Johnny Unitas, 6, John Elway, 5, Dan Marino, 4, Steve Young, 3, Otto Graham, 2, Joe Montana, 1, Tom Brady. Now to Ben's list, where there will be at least one point on the list here that I know is going to be much reacted to, much that will be getting some real feedback as we go through this here. Honorable mention: Jim Plunkett, Kurt Warner, Roger Staubach, Joe Namath, and Steve Young. Top 10. And again, we already said that the criteria that Ben was using to a large degree winning. 10, Bart Starr, 9, Otto Graham, 8, John Elway, 7, Peyton Manning, 6, Eli Manning, 5, Troy Aikman, 4, Terry Bradshaw, 3, Patrick Mahomes, 2, Joe Montana, 1, Tom Brady. I should probably lead with you, Ben, as far as, you know, thoughts on any of these ones here, but in particular yours, if there's anything that you want.
Defend yourself, Ben. Defend yourself.
To be fair, I just never want to be banned from a Manning cast, potentially. Well, I think that's the right thing. But again,
you retain your eligibility.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But again, too, we do have to know that Eli Manning potentially beat two of the greatest teams in NFL history at that time. So
yes.
I'm going to at least give him credit in that respect. Do I feel like now looking and listening to all these other lists, I feel like I was a little high on him there. But again, my thing, too, is like, whenever I think of a quarterback, I think about winning more than anything else. And I do feel like, I want to flip off maybe Otto Graham in that spot, because I was trying to determine, based on the era, how would he perform in another one? And I feel like that is the big thing with him, because he would have been a prototypical NFL quarterback in today's game. And it feels like, but again, we also have to say, like, what was his competition at that period of time as well?
Well, I don't think they really had a color line, so I don't think that comes into play. It's not like baseball or some of the other sports where it was like a lot of great athletes were excluded. It is kind of interesting in that degree when you start talking about this, because Chris, the one thing that we ever did in the history of this show that is very similar to what we did with this thing here, you were part of this back in 2017, and it was a great segment that we did, counting down the top 10 NBA players of all time. Going through that, me, you, and Steve Callis, that was an awesome broadcast that we did together. And when you talk about how guys would be in today's game, one of the names that kept coming up in the negative sense was Bill Russell. And I was like, this guy might be a power forward at best in today's game. So it's like, you know, you look at what he did and you look at all of that. And I don't, to me, I don't know how much, you know, how somebody's game would translate to today. I don't know how much you can factor that in. But it's like it's a 100% zero for Bill Russell when you start to factor that in. And there are players that don't translate in different sports from era to era.
I mean, the problem with a list like this, right? I mean, I didn't get to see a lot of these guys play, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen some clips here and there, especially way back, right? Mm-hmm. I've gone back and through the years and tried to watch, the old on YouTube, like old games in black and white as some guys, sure. and those are kind of a trip. But then you see, the offensive lineman at 240 in front of him, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of this was trying to project modern athletes with past athletes with, the old rules and the new rules. I mean, it's very hard to do because you realize how it influences their stats, their winning. It makes it a challenge. And so, a lot of the honorable mentions that folks had in there, like I mentioned Y.A. Tittle, Fran Tarkenton, Bart Starr, I thought about a lot of those guys. And again, admitting a lot of it is like, I didn't really get to see them and then in depth, right? And mm-hmm. understand their quality and how they could translate. So we all, I think, end up with a bias mm-hmm. towards more recent quarterbacks because we see them in HD, right? Mm-hmm. We've been around since the 80s when the NFL exploded and there's film on everything. You can go online and probably watch every single game that Troy Aikman ever played in, right? I mean, you can't do that with Y.A. Tittle, right? So it's hard to be able to then translate all that. And I tried to sort of balance that. For me, it was like there's winning, there's skill, there's the resume, there's the changes in era. And I tried to just kind of mold and blend all that together. Very unscientific, admittedly, right? I mean, it's just, how do you feel about it? Because again, you end up leaving out quarterbacks. I left out Elway. I left out Drew Brees. Kurt Warner, great quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. And to Ben's point and Johnny's point, you hear the list from other people and you go, maybe that should have been my seven, maybe I should have moved Steve Young back. At the end of the day, life's about choices.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's the whole thing here. We're all using a number of different factors. We're kind of, going with the multiplicity of this. And like I said, I'm somewhat the exception of what you're saying, because I'm a guy that's a lot more willing to go off of the historical record than a lot of people. I know that like in a lot of the Pantheon things, like people have, shot me down. I'm like, well, you never watched him play. Like, I didn't live through Bobby Orr, but I think Bobby Orr is the greatest hockey player of all time, because to have put up the production that he did as a defenseman, to not only be the best defenseman in the league, but the best offensive player while he's at it, arguably the best offensive player. I mean, I didn't watch much of his career. I've mostly just seen clips, but, certain things I think kind of transcend that. I'm a little more willing to suspend my disbelief if I haven't watched it with my own two eyes. That's not how most people are. I do agree with that, Chris. Most people are not, going to be as inclined to do that. Johnny, your thoughts on this before we get to the results?
I'm just with Chris. It's nice to hear the discussion. I'm looking at my list now thinking I could have put some things in different areas. I think we're also we gravitate towards people we've seen, teams maybe we've liked. I certainly have bias against a few of these people on these lists, but I will say it's nice to hear a couple names. I was really happy to hear Kurt Warner's name come up on a number of lists. Warren Moon, who I thought was highly successful both with Houston, and then certainly with Minnesota. And, you know, they were robbed of that Super Bowl because Gary Anderson missed that kick. So, you know.
It was, again, Warren Moon did have a heck of a career. And it's interesting because that's a name where when he started popping up, particularly on the honorable mentions, I was a little bit kind of surprised. But then he kept popping up. And the more I thought about it, the more I kind of understood that was the case. And
I thought Fouts, you know, his numbers pale in comparison to today, but the numbers he was putting up in the early 80s were groundbreaking. I mean, 100%. No one was throwing for 3,000 yards, 4,000 yards. People just weren't doing it. So,
well, and how about in all this discussion and all the quarterbacks listed by Rick and everybody's ballots and overrated even or honorable mentions, did I hear Jim Kelly's name once?
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. I'm like, I have not heard his name once.
He was on my honorable mention list.
A couple honorable mentions. Okay. He was on a few. Yeah.